Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And as always, if you're in the L.A. area, the guest call-in number is 424-258-9337. And for everyone else, including those right here in the beautiful but breezy San Francisco Bay Area, the toll-free number is 877-697-9725. Producer Kaina will be over in the chat room, and after the show, I will be logging into that. So, today we're going to be discussing empathy management. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the phrase, empathy, noun, describes the feeling that you understand and share another person's experiences and emotions, the ability to share someone else's feelings. When someone is empathic, that means that they will literally feel something that someone else is feeling as if it is their own feeling. A sudden sense of sadness or happiness or fear. Empath may not necessarily be something that is involving them, but they could be picking up on the emotions of another. And empathy can be an amazing tool that can assist anybody who is either in the healing or counseling, you know, line of work, or even just in dealing with people in general. If you're that person that everybody goes to, more than likely you're an empath, because people love to talk to people who are empathic because they get a very strong, safe feeling that this person really understands what they're going through. And they are correct. And empathy is one of the most common traits of people who are in the healing tradition. Now, as everything holds light and shadow, as we've always talked about, the ability to feel the emotions of others as if they were your own can be a gift and a hindrance. And while empathy can really help enhance connection between a practitioner or healer and a person receiving the work, it can also leave that practitioner open to a flood of emotions that can be, you know, can go anywhere from just being unpleasant and disruptive to absolutely disabling. Depends on the intensity of the emotion. Now, most people who have this, who are aware of it, or even if for the first time today you're hearing this description and you're going, oh my gosh, that's me. I can go into a room and all of a sudden I know that something really bad is going on, or somebody's upset or somebody's angry, or people who have a problem going into social situations because they find it tremendously unpleasant because they come out exhausted and they feel like they took on everything emotionally from every person in that room. Now, that being said, empathy can be managed. It can become a tool in your toolkit. Empathy doesn't define you. You are not just empathy. You're a person who has a particular ability. And with that particular ability comes the ability to choose whether or not you want to use it. And today we're going to be exploring a little bit how you can switch empathy from being a reflex to being a choice. Because for most people who are unmanaged empaths or who really have no idea how to, if not shut it off or at least put it on a dimmer switch, it can really be difficult to go into situations because you're going to feel everything and you're going to feel it to the ultimate extent of what you can feel. And as I said, that can be, you know, actually debilitating. So we're going to talk about ways to shift that to something that you get to choose. And not only do you get to choose whether or not it's needed at all, you can choose how much you utilize. It's sort of like cooking. You know, if you've got something and the directions say bring to a boil, well, you start off turning the heat all the way up. But then it says once you reach a boil, you turn it down to a low simmer, and you leave it that way. Very few cooks I know just go in, turn a pot on 100% highest flame, and then walk away and leave it there all day. Or at least you're not going to do it more than once. The issue being that that's kind of what it is like for people who are empathically sensitive and can't quite figure out a way to turn it down when they don't need it. And not every situation with people calls for you to be empathic. The difference between empathy and sympathy, in my humble opinion, is that sympathy means I feel bad for you. Empathy means I feel bad for you and I feel that I have to get emotionally involved in it. Sometimes all you need to do is be sympathetic. Sometimes all you need to be is a good listener. Sometimes all you need to say is absolutely nothing. It does not require tapping into those skills if you really don't need to. And for some practitioners, that's a very difficult line to walk because, well, basically empathy in its greatest shadow aspect, and what I mean by that is that aspect that is not productive for you, the ultimate expression of that is codependence. And not only do you feel what that other person feels, you will, by any means necessary, stop them from feeling it. If someone is in pain, you feel compelled that you have to stop that pain. Now, for people who aren't really familiar with that process of feeling, I've been an empath since before I was born. And I actually was given, pretty much proof of that. When I was in chiropractic college, one of the things that we had to learn to do was do x-rays. And I mean not these cool digital x-ray things. I mean, we're talking the old with the film and you have to learn to process it. Anyway, I was letting a friend of mine do a chest x-ray to study the thoracic spine. So I go ahead, x-ray goes off fine. I go out and sit down while that person is processing it because they have to be able to process it on their own. Well, my friend comes out and looks at me a little bit nervous and goes and gets one of the clinicians, one of the floor doctors, and takes them into the x-ray viewing room. Well, I'm sitting there and going, wow, that's different, that's strange. But, I didn't think much of it. Then the clinician and the student come out, look at me a little bit nervous, and go and get the head radiologist. And at that point, I am feeling a little more than nervous because I know nobody pulls him out unless something is shown up on an x-ray. So I'm really, my sister passed from cancer and, my mother at that time, she had been diagnosed with cancer. And so I'm thinking this is not good. So the radiologist comes out and kind of calls me into the room. And he said, well, we just wanted to double check because something showed up on your x-ray. And we wanted to make sure. And he said, but everything's fine. It's just the scars from when you had sarcoidosis. Now, sarcoidosis is a respiratory infection and once it passes, I mean, it's kind of a serious thing, but once it passes, usually there's scar tissue in the lungs. And he said, absolutely, he has seen it many times before, and that's what it was. The only problem was I had never had sarcoidosis, which I told him. And he said, well, of course you have. You have the scars. He said, it was when you were very, very young, but you've had it. So I went and asked my mother, and I said, well, Mom, did I ever have sarcoidosis? And she said, no. And then she said, but I had it while I was pregnant with you. Now, this is a condition that cannot pass across the uterus. It cannot be transmitted to the fetus. And I thought that was tremendously weird. And later on, as I thought about it and as I studied it and as I considered, you know, what that meant to me, basically, it was my first indication of how empathic I really was. That even as my mother carried me within her body, there was something going on with her that I drew in. And it may have been a sense of self-preservation that she, being the vessel that was carrying me, had to be healthy. So I was willing to take part of that on in order to aid her in her recovery. And, of course, you know, there's a lot of different stories that can go around this, and whether you believe it or not, that's not a problem for me. You could say, you know what, that's just that. You probably just had it. You know what, okay. There's a lot of stories that could be attached around that, but I accept the one that resonates for me. That situation is also a reminder to me that we really shouldn't take stuff within ourselves because it will leave a scar. There is a price to be paid for working empathy in that way. Now, generally, unmanaged empaths can only be as happy as the least happy person in the room. Because if there's one person in there who is not in their happy place, not only will an empath pick up on it over everybody else, but that person will seek out the empath on an intuitive level, knowing that this is somebody who will be sympathetic to them and who will take care of them and who will, in all likelihood, take on their stuff for them. So when you have someone who cannot feel like they can be okay if other people aren't okay, that goes into that place of codependency. So how do you manage that? How do you create a dimmer switch? Well, the first step is by accepting with absolute certainty that you have a choice in it. And I know a lot of folks who say, well, it's just how I am. I don't have a choice. It just does it. You don't understand. Honestly, I do. I really, really, really do. Because the majority of my life I spent not knowing what empathy meant, experiencing it tremendously intensely. And it made growing up very hard because I was always, you know, that, well, she's just so sensitive. Why is she so sensitive? I would come home crying because of something that happened to somebody else, and basically I was told, well, you're just being too sensitive. And I'm sure there's some of you out there who have been told for a very long time, it's like, well, you know what, you just need to let stuff go. Why do you get so emotionally involved? Because it's our nature to get emotionally involved. It reaches a place where you accept, you know what, I don't want to do this all the time. I don't want to be this all the time. And sometimes it can be tough because maybe you're not sure if it's something that you're genuinely feeling or if it's something that belongs to somebody else. I refer to it as empathic kleptomania. When you go out and you decide you want to take on what everybody else has, spare them at the cost of you, that's kleptomania. That is that emotional piece where you're taking something that doesn't belong to you. And really, by you taking it, you're not serving them. There are huge blessings in going through unpleasant things. And one of them is that we learn how strong we can be. It's not anyone's job to take on everything for everyone else, because all that does is take away from you when you're going through what you're going through. And it's really hard for people who are empathic to ask for help because we figure we can deal with it. We can stand it. We can manage it. It's all those other people who have problems. You know what? Sometimes we can't manage it. Sometimes it gets really, really hard, and we are not able to do that. And it's those times that we need to reach out for help. If you know you're sensitive to the, you know, the emotions of others, then back off. if you're getting overwhelmed by what's going on around you, step out and ask somebody, you know what, can you take this for me for a while? Because I need to, you know, step out of this situation for a bit. If you know someone who is empathic and knows how to manage it, go to them and ask for them to, you know, kind of help you balance out. I'm going to be sharing with you today a couple of exercises that you can do to be able to help manage that. And ultimately, the first aspect of being able to manage it, like I said, is accepting that you can. A carpenter will pick up a hammer in the process of their work, and it is perfectly appropriate. But they're not going to pick up that hammer and take it to a wedding when it is not appropriate. And they're not going to pick up the hammer if actually a saw is the most appropriate tool to use. Empathy is just one aspect out of many aspects that form you. Being someone who is tremendously sensitive, you know, there are ways that you can utilize that just enhance your life, enhance your relationships. Often when I have a patient who is a new patient, a new chiropractic patient, I will approach them and I can automatically tell if they've ever been hurt by a chiropractor. Not by anything they say, but by their energy, by all of a sudden there's this tightening. I almost feel like there's a wall between us. And when I do that, I step back and say, you know what, have you ever been hurt by a chiropractor? And they'll say, well, yeah, there was this one time, and then they go into a story. At that point, I back off and say, okay, let's talk about that for a few minutes, and let's take a look at that and see what it was that you didn't like about what happened. And after we've had a chance to talk about it, that's when I use the empathy. Well, once I've determined, oh, okay, this is what's going on, then I can take the empathy and turn it down. I don't have to use it at that point because then I use my other tools, being able to talk to them. I use communication tools. And we get past that moment, and then we can move forward. Empathy is a wonderful thing to use to first determine, okay, what's the situation here? What is being felt that I'm not being told? But then once that's done, you can turn it down. You don't have to leave it on full. So when you're dealing with people, it's simply something you pick up, you utilize while you need to do it, and then put it down. So one of the ways that you can learn to do this is, and it may sound almost counterintuitive, but these exercises are actually designed in one way to enhance your empathy. And the reason that that is a good thing is because you learn, first you learn what it feels like. There are a lot of people who are energetic healers who can tell you exactly when their energy is moving through them. Those who are Reiki practitioners or any other group, you know, sometimes they say their hands warm up or their body feels warm or, you know, they feel a tingling. The problem with empathy is because it's always been on, you no longer really can tell the difference of it being on and it being off because it's never off. So it just becomes a part of you. When you learn how to amp it up, then you can start feeling what that feels like so you can identify it. When I'm doing empathy, this particular physical sensation comes up. So that way you start learning that that's when it's on. So one of the things, the first thing I recommend is going out and finding a stone. And you take this stone and you sit down and you get nice and quiet and you take a couple of deep breaths and just feel the physical sensation. First, just feel the physical aspect of the stone. You know, how cold is it? How warm is it? How smooth is it? How rough it is? You know, what are the markings on it? Experience it fully. Then take a breath and see what you can feel from it. Actually, consciously, and it's sort of like looking at one of those, you know, 3D pictures that kind of jump out at you. In order to see it, you can't, like, glare at it and see it. You have to look at it with soft eyes that are slightly unfocused. That's what you need to do with your energy. You need to do with your empathy is to soften it, to just relax with it, and merely see what it is that you can sense. Go into that place of nothing. And one of the ways that I've learned to tell when I have an emotion come in that I'm not sure whether or not it's mine, I will in my own mind say, is this mine? And at that point, I'll notice like a fluctuation. It'll dip slightly, so it'll be like slightly less, or sometimes it'll be slightly more, but there will be a change in the intensity of that particular emotion. As soon as that hits, I know it's not mine. You know, that's the system that works for me, and you may find that it works for you too. But first, asking the question, is this mine? And if I feel that little bit of fluctuation, okay, now I know it's not. I know it's coming from somewhere else. The question then becomes, what do I do with it? Is it something that I'm meant to get involved with, or is it something that I'm simply meant to bear witness? And I really feel that sometimes all we're meant to do is just be aware that it's happening. We don't have to add a story to it. We don't have to add anything to it. But just to experience it, because somewhere on a cosmic level, I mean, when we're going through stuff, we want someone to know that we're going through it. We want on some level to have somebody acknowledge, wow, you're going through something tough. You know, I hear you. So sometimes it's just that. Sometimes, you know, it's very specific and maybe like one of those cases where, you know, somebody is immediately in your mind and the next thing you know, the phone rings and they're calling you. Or you call them up and they'll say, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about you. So it's sort of like that. And, you know, you sit and you go into this unfocused place and focus that energy, that attention, focus your attention on the stone. Which actually, you'll notice that there's a little bit of something there. You know, everything holds spirit to some degree. I mean, you know, whatever your spiritual beliefs, for me, I feel that everything holds some type of spirit, some type of energy. And there is a way to connect with that. So you just relax. And then as you go into that, draw it back till, you know, you're feeling nothing. Picture it as a tide moving out. And then bring it back. And that action of moving it out and bringing it back will help you start to learn to control it. Now, the other exercise is, and this is best done out like in a natural setting. You don't want people around you for this. What you want to do is you sit, picture your empathy, your awareness as just kind of a bubble. Then you expand the bubble. And for all the space that is it expands to, whatever comes into that space, see if you can detect, see if you can sense it. And as you expand that bubble, take it out, being aware of everything. It's sort of like sitting and wanting to listen for every possible sound you can hear. Like, oh, there's a car. Oh, I can hear a bird. Oh, I hear a different bird. There's like four different birds that I can hear. You know, there's the wind in the trees. In a way, it's like that, but you're doing it with emotion. You're doing it about feeling. And whether or not you feel that it's real, or it's like, well, what if I'm wrong? What if, you know, I'm making it up? What if it's just my imagination? Okay, go ahead and say, you know what? If it's my imagination, I'm just going to be in my imagination for a few minutes. Even if you're just imagining what it would be like. What would it be like, you know, if I could feel what the grass was feeling, if I could feel what that tree was feeling. It's about expanding and then bringing it back in all the way to yourself. And then expand it again and bring it all the way in. These are the first steps in being able to get a handle on how much you need, gauging it by its intensity, bringing it up as big as you can bring it, and then bringing it back in again. Now, doing this around people can be a little unsettling for them, which is why I suggest doing it, you know, sort of on your own. Doing it next to the ocean is awesome. It is unbelievably awesome. You've got to trust me on this one. Or even a lake or something like that, but the ocean rocks. So, you know, just, you know, almost treating it like as if breathing in and out. The whole point to these exercises is that you can learn that you can intensify it and you can bring it in. You have that choice. And when you take those steps to claim that, you know, it really is tremendously empowering. Also, keep in mind, empathy is not just about receiving. It's about transmitting, too. And that's when it goes to a higher level, because there are many people who can transmit feelings and emotions. And not all of them have been very nice. In fact, some of them have been truly horrible. And they can convince people to do things that they wouldn't normally do. And one of the ways they can do this is because they are very strong and very adept empaths. And they understand that they can project as well as receive. But first, the first step is just working on that piece of awareness. What is your awareness about what's going on around you? So it is really very cool. You know, sometimes I will utilize empathy. Basically, you know, I tap into it to some degree, you know, almost 7 days a week. And I decide how much. And you can decide that too. It doesn't mean, if you turn your empathy all the way off, it doesn't mean that you're not sympathetic. It does not mean that you're incapable of being compassionate. Because your sympathy and your compassion are two additional tools that you can use. You don't have to pick up empathy if you don't want to. And when you need it, when you really need to be able to tap into that, you can tap in as fully as you want. Empathy management creates choice. You don't have to be a victim to it because it's a gift. And it's a gift that's there for you to use as you choose. Thank you for joining me today. And if you'd like to speak with me more about the idea of empathy management, you can get a hold of me through the email at healinghouseradio@the-healing-house.com. And you can also check me out on my website at the-healing-house.com. If you'd be interested in having me come to where you are and speak, I've done it several times, and I really enjoy it, so please let me know. So I really hope that this has been helpful for you. Like I said, it's just the basic, you know, kind of ideas. The most important idea in this is that you can choose this, that you can be able, and it takes practice. It takes a lot of practice. But each time you practice it, each time you send it out and bring it back in, that is you being able to manage that in a very, very good way. It allows you to be a much more effective healer. Being empathic can leave people with the idea that, you know, they have to bleed for everyone. When you bleed for everyone, you don't have any strength left for yourself. And when you're in the airplane, what's the talk? You put your own mask on first. There's nothing wrong with protecting yourself. There's nothing wrong with not tapping into people's feelings when it doesn't serve them or you. So, you know, be careful where you're giving your power away, whether you're giving your energy away. Don't carry the scars that you don't need to. And it's okay to say no when somebody calls on you for that. Use your judgment. It's there to protect you. And really, it's probably a lot better than you think. So again, thank you for joining me. I'll be back next Thursday at the same time, and we'll be talking about another topic. And if you're interested, if you're on meetup.com, you can go to Healing House Events on meetup.com if you're local. And you can also friend me on Facebook at Dr. Eileen. And you can also follow me on Twitter. So, until next time, take care and be good to each other and yourself. Blessings.